Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show.
Truth straight up. Big weekend for the Colorado Republican Party.
Yes.
After a gorgeous drive, by the way, to Buena Vista. Craig Steiner from Douglas County is the new...
I recently acquired Porsche sports
yeah,
car.
We all almost died with Chuck.
I almost died at my hands.
Anyway, Craig Steiner from Douglas County is the new chair of the party. He defeated...
upset victory.
He defeated, Joe Altman and Jeremy Goodall. Yeah. And we have with us Ted Harvey, who was, Ted, if former legislator, very active.
2001. He's a young man still. It's kind of a shocking, but... He was elected first in 2001, served 13 years, I think, in the state legislature, and it's gone on to bigger and better things.
And you could go, there you go. I don't know if you were the campaign manager, if you were a supporter.
The strategist.
The strategist
behind this upset victory. I think you didn't think it was an upset. You'd planned the whole thing. You had all your proxies in line and were ready to pounce on.
Congratulations. Thank you for your time. And let me kind of just jump. I'm just going to jump.
No, I don't want you to jump. You're going to jump?
I'm going to jump right in. One of the things that I'm seeing in social media, so I want to give you a chance to reassure.
Look at this.
To reassure everybody. One of the many reasons that Steiner won is McCracken, a guy by the name of McCracken, who was, I guess we could go ahead and call him the establishment, that's a polite way to put it, I would call him a rhino candidate, through his support to Craig Steiner. And I think, let me give you a chance to reassure everybody, where would you describe Steiner's heart in the party and his philosophy and where he's going to be leading us?
Craig is a tactician, a political tactician. He was the secretary for Douglas County Republican Party. He was the chair of the Douglas County Republican Party. And he is a computer programmer, whatever.
What? You froze there.
Long thought.
Hey, Ted, if you can hear us, you froze. Maybe... get in and get out again. Okay, yeah, he's calling from the car. So Ted, if you could, the rhino sabotaged it. No,
just
kidding.
We're going to get the answer.
If you could maybe try again on Zoom or without the video, I don't know. Okay, thank you, Thomas. And maybe you can give him a holler and we could bring him on just on the phone if that works. What he was starting to say, because he has, and I'll let him, he can talk about it when he comes back, is that no, Craig Steiner, and we'll let him talk, is a tactician. And
he's not a partisan.
No, and he wanted to win, and that was necessary, and it was necessary to win, basically. It was necessary to win. From everything I'm hearing, I have to admit, I was not particular...
Yes, Jacob. Tina Peters is
free. Tina Peters is free, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit. We have some sound from her. She was let out early this morning.
Nelson Mandela leaves the...
didn't really know that much about Craig at all. And you know, like I said, we were caught by surprise. There are a ton of people there, though, who were not caught by surprise because Ted Harvey is a master strategist. Okay, now he's with us on the phone. So Ted, thank you. Sorry about that, the difficulty there. If you could, you were saying that he is a political tactician. You'll give us a little bit of his background. So why don't you go ahead and pick it up there?
Yeah. And so sorry about that. I was on your Zoom call on my phone and a call came in and knocked me off. I apologize.
Okay. No worries.
So I have known the fine chairman since probably 2008 or so. And he wrote this program, Voter Spectrum, that we used for our Get Out the Vote effort in Douglas County for over a decade. It's an app that we can use for walking door to door. And we use it for Get Out the Vote phone calling and phone banks. And they actually use it down in Maricopa County over the last election cycle and have really turned more Maricopa County around because of their use of the app. So he's really a brilliant, very, very smart, soft-spoken tactician. But he's 100% on all the issues that I care about. Life, guns, taxes, unions. He was chairman of Douglas County when we took over the Douglas County School Board and put vouchers in place in Douglas County, and that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And we won every single office in Douglas County when he was chairman, from the school board all the way up to governor. And so he knows what he's doing when it comes to get out the vote in the technical side of things, but that's what he does in the background. He's not a partisan, you know, bomb thrower like I am, like you two are, but he's right on all the issues.
So one could say that might be a good thing. What about that big issue, the opt-out? What's his?
Well, I want to go a little bit, if I could, before we get to that, because that is a key conversation, but get out the vote. I mean, I am the father or the grandfather or whatever, it's great-grandfather of ballot harvesting in Colorado. When Danetta Davidson, I think it was Danetta, declared that you didn't have to have an excuse anymore to absentee vote, I figured, wow, all we got to do is go to them, get them an absentee.
This is when you were in Glendale.
When I was in Glendale, and we'd just get out, you know, they'd send in the ballot, they'd fill it out, and we'd go collect it. And we couldn't lose. And we went from you know, winning some, losing some, to an almost an invincible machine because we ballot harvested and the other side didn't. Well, the Republican Party is on the opposite side of that. The other side ballot harvest and we get crushed. So any kind of get out the vote without a ballot harvesting is really kind of fighting with one hand behind your back. But ballot harvesting takes a huge amount of work, effort, time, and people and money. So what's his view on that as part of his get out the vote strategy?
Well, we have done that in Douglas County for probably a decade, and very successfully we have done that. It does take a lot of time. It does take a lot of volunteers, but we have done it, especially in the smaller races where the voter turnout is much lower than it is in a presidential election year. I'm not sure ballot harvesting is that effective in large scale campaigns.
Oh, it is. Let me promise you, it is. And one person who did do it was Gabe Evans. Gabe Evans up here in Adams County and elsewhere was the only time I've ever seen ballot harvesting actually utilized, because they had tons of money from Americans for Prosperity. And it actually was the first time I've ever seen anybody ballot harvest, and he won. So it can be done. But
And he spent a lot of money on paid.
That's what it takes. Yeah, you can't have.
As you all know, the Colorado Republican Party doesn't have a lot of money.
Really? Huh?
What about then?
That's not part of his get out the vote strategy. It's more kind of
not until Duck and Dooley write a big check.
Yeah, no problem there. Chuck and Julie are waiting to get a big check. Yeah.
What about then the opt-out? I think that's the biggest issue, you know, facing that any the chair is going to have. There's all kinds of, you know, we've got litigation, you've got good rulings from the judges, we've got all kinds of things going forward. What's his view and your guys' view on that? Because I think that's a key issue.
Well, you know where I have been on this issue. Right. I've been on the front line helping Dave push this issue forward since 108 passed. And I would not support Craig if he was not 100% with me on my all of my issues, but my top issue, state chair. And actually, when 108 was on the ballot, he wrote an op-ed against 108 and saying that the party should immediately opt out as quickly as they can. So he has been an intellectual thought on this issue since 108 was on the ballot.
That's great.
Okay, well, good. What about, too, and we'll be talking about this a little later in the show, but I know over the weekend there was information coming out that we're finding out a lot of, like, if you thought the Britta Horn administration was bad, and I'm going to say the uniparty establishment, which was controlling her, you know, they had hit lists, which you were on, but we were not on.
We were not. We're insulted. We can't believe we're not.
We were on the do not allow in thing. I know Brandy Bradley was posting things talking about how, you know, the Britta people and the establishment considered any kind of grassroots win on gun rights, parents' rights, a loss. I mean, Christy Fedora is writing.
Christy Fedora is a wonderfully
writing
evil woman.
The RNC.
Wonderfully evil woman. I mean,
she's writing the RNC, asking them to tell Hope Shuppelman not to use pictures of President Trump and her. I mean, they didn't just consider, we weren't just disagreeing members of the party. They considered us the enemy. And is how is Craig going to wade his way through that and kind of help?
Not get in the middle, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly isn't going to have an enemy list,
yeah.
But he's not going to kowtow. He's not going to kowtow to our enemies. He understands that we are at war to save Colorado and save the United States, and part of that is the establishment's efforts to be able to control Republican primaries to ensure that conservatives can't win in Republican primaries. And That's why the opt-out is so incredibly important and why it's so disappointing that our elected officials in the legislative delegation and in the congressional delegation have worked so hard to make sure that the state party does not opt out.
Yeah. What about, you know, I know he has to remain neutral as chair, but just for what it's worth, we would kind of hope that maybe we could get some people primarying some of these people.
No, we can't do that, Julie. I mean, that's exactly why he didn't get elected. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to do what Dave did, and I thought it was a mistake, of trying to have primaried against existing candidates. That was not a winning strategy, I imagine that
was my hope.
Well, that was Julie's hope, but you know,
that's why I got the campaign advisor.
Luckily, she's not the campaign advisor, exactly.
It's not going to happen with Craig at the helm, but I agree. The reason why I'm so passionate about the state party and conservatives taking control of the state party is that the state party has put their thumb on the scale for decades.
Yeah.
In primaries,
yes.
Making sure
yes.
that the establishment wins. And that's why I wanted to have a conservative win, not to put a thumb on the scale, but to make sure that they aren't putting a thumb on the scale.
Yeah.
And I can assure you, Craig will not do that.
What about money? As you pointed out, the Republicans.
What about
we're like roughly, Eric revealed at the meeting, $400,000 in debt, like the half of that owed to Clenda, and he's got a judgment to come get us. What's his money plan? Counterfeiting? No, I'm kidding.
Gold bar or something?
I think the main reason why donors have not given money since Britta got elected is that she has been spending all of her time on her enemy list. And focusing on legal battles and paying her attorney exorbitant amounts of money. And the donors are like, I'm not going to fund that. I'll give you money if it's going to go to electing Republicans.
Yeah.
Not going to be giving to fund an attorney. So I think as soon as Greg gets in there, he's going to do everything he can to move forward to make sure that we aren't paying Clenda. The State Central Committee voted overwhelmingly, what is it now, 6 months ago, that he was no longer the attorney and he could not bill us for any additional fees. And Britta went to a judge and said, yeah, here you go. Just give him the $250,000. And we're going to fight that. Craig's going to fight that. And we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I think once we, you know, shore up all of these fees that are being billed us, the donors will, the money will start to come in from the big donors because all they want is a competent person at the helm that's going to do everything they can to win elections, not be in the middle of pissing matches.
Well, but what about the theory? And I think it's beyond a theory. It's been proved by John Kildare and all the way down that, you know, Phil and the boys have kind of given up on party politics and they want to kind of kill the parties with a jungle primary. They tried it with Ken Thierry's jungle primary with ranked voting, which, you know, hey, going to go partly California, go all California, that the money sitting on the sidelines is going to continue to sit on the sidelines because they want a nice jungle primary where really, if you're a billionaire, that's the best system of all. And they won't be contributing to the party because it's not where their head is at.
Well, I don't think it was this that decapitated the state party process. I think it was, gosh, 15 years ago when Jared Polis put on the ballot the campaign finance reform laws that you can only give $250 to a legislative campaign, but you can spend as much as you want of your own money. And lo and behold, we have a billionaire as a governor because of it. That is really what's killing the party process, is the fact that you can only give $250 to a candidate, but these millionaires can buy seats left and right, or put a ton of money into independent expenditure committees that have no limitations on donations, and they can sway an election and have a huge impact.
Well, I assume you're going to continue on to the extent and revive the IEC for the state party, because it's got to have one. I mean, it just absolutely needs
the state party. The state party has one already. It had
well, I know it stopped, and then they got it back.
I think it means putting money into it.
And Ted Harvey's been the agent of said state party.
Excellent.
All right. Well, Ted, listen, I know you're busy and you're breaking up a little bit. So let me just.
We have a lot of other things to ask and do.
Okay.
Sorry.
What do you think one of the other candidates, you know, had this, it was a 90-day plan, was going to implement immediately, et cetera, et cetera. What, I mean, kind of out of the gate, I imagine part of Craig's problem is once he gets in there, because I know from conversations with Eric that he was astounded at sort of the state that the party had been left in under the previous chair. But I mean, so maybe he has to get his head around that, or what is it that he's hoping to do kind of right out of the gate?
Well, I know that Craig's already had two conversations with Eric, one yesterday and one this morning, to go over all of those issues and get his arms around all of the lawsuits that are out there and all of the invoices that are being requested from legal attorneys and everything. I mean, I think that's got to be the first issue, first and foremost, is to figure out what we're going to do there and what our options are. Like I said, as soon as we can get around that and people aren't feeling that they're donating money to pay for attorneys, I think we'll see people open up their checkbooks. But even then, I've been talking to some big donors and they're like, let's just pay it off, whatever we need, and let's move on as long as we have a competent person at the helm. And I think everybody agrees Craig Steiner is that competent person, and much so, more so than the other candidates that were running.
What about with this get out the vote stuff? I don't know how complicated it is, but does that have the ability to be put in place, boom, right away? You know what I mean? For the upcoming general election? Or is that something that's going to take some time?
Well, no. I mean, you've got to start day one. We've got so little time between now and November to get the vote out. So we've got to be raising money. We've got to be identifying the state house and state senate races that we want to target. We aren't going to target the entire state. And we've got to make sure that we're getting a good bang for our buck in those districts where we can pick up, like Highlands Ranch, House District 43. We can win this race if we have the resources to be able to do so and implement a good get out the vote effort in races like House District 43 and others around the state.
Okay.
Well, who else is part of the team? I think Dave DiCarlo is part of the team Steiner, and so who else are?
Well, I think you're going to see Craig lean heavily on Eric. Eric's been there; he knows what's going on. I think you're going to see the current treasurer is Tom Bjorklund.
He's great.
Under Dave Williams, and Eric brought him on to try to figure out the books when Britta walked out the door and put us in such disarray. And I'm confident Craig's going to keep Tom on as well, because Tom and Craig have worked together for years as well. So certainly I'm available to give any advice that I can. And so is Dave DiCarlo, and so are a lot of other activists from Douglas County specifically that have helped Craig throughout the years.
Well, who are the other part of the Douglas County Mafia? I mean, who else? What are the names of some of the additional wonderful people?
Well, Robin Webb, who is our county chair, I nominated Craig at the assembly. Robin gave the second, and she's an incredibly confident and competent individual, and I think she's going to be helping Craig a lot as well.
What about with the RNC? The relationships with the RNC is weird, I think.
Yeah.
At least
and
it's,
there are, and they are the Republican triple C, you know. The
yeah, because I yeah. think, I mean, it's... It's hard to, I mean, you hear various things and I guess what's his sense there? Is he going to try to, I mean, I don't want to say mend fences. That doesn't seem quite the right word.
The trouble is they were being utilized to kind of go after.
Yeah. The enemy list.
The enemy list.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they react to Craig's election, because the opt-out is going to happen whether they like it or not. And they've been doing everything they can to fight the state party and the state central committee from moving forward and opting out of the election. And now with the current court ruling that says that 50% plus one is what it takes to opt out, I assure you, our state central committee will opt out. So the NRCC and the RNC needs to figure out, are they going to play ball with the state Republican Party, or are they going to pick up their balls and walk away and go look at other states? I think because Craig is such a uniter, he's not a bomb thrower on either side. He just wants to do the job. I think the RNC is going to say they're going to opt out. We want to have somebody in charge that has been a county chair. He understands how to put on assemblies and how to organize that effort, because it's not just going to be a state convention that we're going to have in 2 years. It's going to be 65 state house assemblies that are going to be choosing the nominee, 35 state Senate assemblies that are going to be choosing the nominees, and all of the county assemblies across the state, they're going to be choosing all of their county nominees. So we need to start working on that immediately to figure out what's the best way to have uniform assemblies across the state that everybody can say, yes, this was fair. Everybody had a fair shot, and this is who the nominee is that came out of that.
Well, one of the things is going to be, everybody talks about, oh, well, nobody goes to caucuses and everything else. And we've gone to the caucuses, and it's pretty bare room. I mean, but all that is going to just radically change. It's going to be a whole different deal where all of a sudden people who want to get become candidates are going to go, well, I got to get involved. I got to get my people involved. It's going to be an exciting
really
time.
Revitalize the party.
Yeah,
I think
it's going to revitalize, you know, the working roots of the party.
You bet. You bet. Rather than these well-funded IECs campaigning after somebody gets their petitions to get on the ballot and go around the Republican activists, now these candidates, if they want to get on the ballot, they're going to have to actually work for it, and they're going to actually have to appeal to the conservative grassroots activists that go to the caucuses and the assemblies. So I think it's going to
be so exciting. It's going to be so exciting. I mean, it's just
other people say, "Oh, you know, you're eliminating people." It's like, no, you can get involved.
Now you're required by state law to have some kind of, you know, hookup so you can go on by Zoom or something. So if you are a military member and you want to, you know, attend or something, I mean, come on.
It couldn't be easier.
Come on in. So, I mean, you know, it's. I think it's going to be I think Craig's going to be in charge of the real revitalization of the Republican Party. I did not support Craig. I supported another candidate or candidates. But the more I get to know about Ted and knowing you, I'm really excited about what he can do. So
Craig and me.
And I think it's really going to be, it's going to be a fun time for the Republican Party.
Well, the thing I'm glad for is Craig is there, because we have to everything we can to make it be a fair and just election that everybody can walk away from and say it was fair. And it's going to be chaos if we don't do this well and do it right the first time, because everybody's going to be upset. And I think Craig's the guy to put in place a team that can make it all work.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We've appreciated you coming on. We'll have to get the chair himself on, but we wanted to get you because you are, as I've said,
a great analysis.
Yeah, one of the brightest minds in the Republican Party. So.
Well, there you go. Except for me.
No, except for Julia. No. Other than Julia.
Ted, thank you for your time.
You're great. God bless. Thank you both. Appreciate it.
Ted Harvey there. Yeah, you know, I think you're right, Chuck. I think it was, again, Ted was not surprised, as he said.
They
knew they had the votes. But a lot of people were. But I do agree with you. The more you kind of hear about things, the more some of the stuff Ted was saying, I think it's going to be not only just fine. I think that there is going to be a revitalization of the party. And I think there is going to be an opt-out. There was an opt-out, for Pete's sakes. Now we're just going to finally recognize that we voted to opt-out.
Which doesn't mean the Republican Party is not going to win statewide offices. It's not. The opt-out does not guarantee you that all of a sudden you're going to be able to win. It doesn't. But what it's going to be is they continue to drive the state into the abyss.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you read the real economic data, and we talk to people who kind of know we're moving our company out of the state. I mean, you know, we can't be in this deep blue. I mean,
no.
People won't move in. Like, no, I didn't go from California to go into California Light. I mean, you know, so I think when and if the state is ready for a change, they'll have a real choice. They'll have somebody else who will kind of, no, we actually believe in promoting businesses and cutting taxes and not just figuring out how to screw Tabor over. And I think we'll have people and candidates that will believe in what they're doing, as opposed to getting C, D's, and F's.
And the Liberty scorecard.
I mean, it's just going to be, so when the time comes, and who knows how long, will it take them 2 years to destroy the rest of the state, or 4 years, hard to know. It kind of depends. If they go with Wiser, they can destroy the state quicker. But, you know, if you wanted a slower death, then have Michael Bennett, so I think that's going to be exciting.
In other news, Jacob, what you brought up, so Tina Peters was freed this
free
morning.
Last,
she was from
last.
The La Vista.
Thank God Almighty, free at last.
From the correctional facility. She was released, and she did an interview almost immediately with Steve Bannon, and she talked about just the bad conditions there. It seems that, I mean, she was pretty wide-ranging, talking about conditions. You know, we had previously talked with Asha about, you know, what were the parole conditions going to be, and I haven't seen anything on that quite yet.
You know, it'll be a temptation by the parole board, is just as politicized as anything else. They want a hamstringer, so it will be interesting.
But listening to her comments this morning, that appears not to be the case.
Really?
Yeah, okay, it appears not to be the case. And to prove it, we will show you. This is one of the things she said on Steve Bannon. So, Thomas, if you could please play the Tina Peters soundbite.
And I know that the Democrats are going to cheat, and no one's really addressing the problem that I spent my time in prison as retribution for, and that was exposing the election machines that allow the votes to be flipped. So that's the thing that I really, as we're coming up to our 250 year anniversary, I'm joyful that we still have our liberty, but at the same time, I'm very concerned and burdened with why no one is talking about
it. Was that one of her lawyers back there looking shifty eyed?
But I mean, there. I mean, clearly she's able to talk about it and willing to talk about it. She was indicating that she wanted to get her health back. I don't think she has massive health issues, but she has some health issues. She said she wanted to get her health back. She wanted to kind of get her life back, get things organized again. And she indicated, you know, she was ready to just get back to work. Now, she didn't elaborate on what the getting back to work might mean or might not mean. But
she looked healthy there. Yeah, not healthy, but alert and
Yeah, and she said, you know, she didn't really start believing it. And, you know, bars are hard. It's been, you know, for a while, okay, she's going to be released by Christmas. Then it's going to be here. Then it's going to be there. Then Trump pardons her. And they're like, we don't care that Trump pardoned you. All of those things. And I think she said it was just really hard. You know, she said she didn't really kind of start thinking, okay, maybe this is going to happen until just a couple of days ago. You know, and again, the Colorado Sun, they referred to her as, you know, she was in prison for election fraud. No, she wasn't. She was, I mean, there was some official misconduct. It was conspiracy to impersonate somebody and attempting to influence a public official.
But she was our wonderful Secretary of State.
And failing to do what the Secretary of State told her to do. I mean, and the attempt to influence the Secretary of State was simply when Tina Peters kept saying, hey, I need to go. We need to verify this. Right. I need to save this. That they charged with that. So all of these people who, you know, like I said, the reporters, she was convicted of election fraud. No, she wasn't. And not only that, she was trying to stop election fraud, by the way, if you want to play word games. But you know, I think, and Ash did a great job. You've got people like Barb Kirkmeyer and all the people, the Republicans, who are fine with murderers being released, but they're upset about Tina Peters being released. I know Ash.
She's the worst nightmare of Barb Kirkmeyer. Because Kirkmeyer really was the one who was kind of going, oh, look at it, maybe blah, blah, blah. I hope Tina, you know, gets a little involved in the present one and weighs in at least as an anti.
Well, and Barb Kirkmeyer was criticizing Tina being released and then asked, well, what was she convicted of? Do you even know? And Barb Kirkmeyer didn't know.
Barb Kirkmeyer did not know.
So there you go with that. And it's going to, I mean, you know, a lot of people who initially didn't want to talk about Tina Peters did now that she became sort of a, you know, cause. I think it's also interesting. I'm just going to say this, that, you know, you look at the Democrats jumping up and down, everybody, you know, Jared Polis is being uninvited to speak at events. Jared Polis, I'm going to bet, is a, you know, had some kind of internal polling sort of guidance that let him know this would be a good move, right?
He's going to run, and, you know, he's always described himself as a libertarian, right? And we all knew that was a joke. He's a commie. But if they're going to elect somebody for VE, he'll run, my guess, and I don't know anything inside information, he'll run for president and be a VP. And say, we can win the West, and he's a libertarian, even if we nominate Newsom or somebody else. I mean, he's gay, so maybe that's a Pete Buttigieg sort of, you know, foot up, but a libertarian gay guy, wouldn't that be great? He didn't do it on the way out to be condemned. And I guess he kind of humorously taped his mouth shut.
Yeah, he apparently appeared on a Democrat video conference call and he had a tape over his mouth. Like you couldn't. Well, yeah, again, you know, when all the, I guess if you're Polis, here's what I would think. It's like the progressive Democrats and the wing of the Democrat Party who hates Tina Peters and favors election.
It isn't just the progressive who hates her. It's all the county clerks who hate her. How'd you like that? Were they all unanimously said, yeah, put her in, we hate her.
Yeah. But I think, though, those people are going to vote for Jared Polis anyway, so he doesn't have to.
Not all. There are plenty. You have to understand that that's the important thing to understand about Colorado politics. There are 64 counties in Colorado, which means there's 64 clerk and recorders, and the majority of them are Republicans because, while population-wise, the Democrats dominate, county-wise, they're more opposed. So it's all those who are Republican people that managed to get conned by Matt Crane and everybody else going,
they've all got a vested interest in the election system, right? You don't want anyone raising questions.
We need to get rid of all the county clerks that voted unanimously to say we hate Tina Peters, at least the Republican ones in the small rural counties. Saying, no, we, you know, we're going to get
to
you.
There were some. But what I guess they meant, what I meant was that, no, I think the one in El Paso County didn't.
Yeah, there may have been one. Okay.
I think that the Polis, I think, is going, my guess would be that the average person out there would say putting Tina Peters away, maybe what she did was wrong. I'm not saying that, but I could see just some not particularly well-informed person saying, but putting her in jail or prison for 9 years does seem a little harsh. Let me finish. Yeah, they don't really care. And so Jared Polis, I think in some way, shape, or form, probably figured out that he could do this, make himself look good, and not do himself more harm than good.
I guess. I disagree.
You think he did himself more harm than good?
No.
Well, then you agree.
I, I don't agree that these people out there don't think they've had enough of the mainstream media telling us that Tina Peters was the greatest criminal around, and their total fear, the absolute fear that anybody questions elections. What further proof do you need to know that they cheat?
Oh,
what further that they're terrified? They need the Jimmy Sangenbergers, the Ken Bucks, the other, you know, utter.
And
all
the Democrats.
Well, all the Republicans say, oh, we have the gold standard in mail-in ballots. Yay. You know, no, there's no cheating. How could they be cheating? You know, so you got half the Republicans think she's awful. And you got half of all of the Democrats think she's awful. So, no, I mean, it was not a popular move in Colorado, but it is a popular move. Going to move if you're trying to distinguish yourself among all of the hideous, horrible Democratic governors that could be a VP on a list. He's going to have it. Let's see. Jared Polis was censured by his own party, and yet Eric Sonderman says it's the Republican Party that is entitled. Eric Sonderman, isn't he a beauty?
Well, who is a
Democrat? No, he's right down the middle. He's fair. We all know what Eric Sonderman is fair.
He's
a pig.
No, I don't think.
He's an utter pig.
Utter pig. I strongly disagree with that.
I strongly disagree with your strongly disagreeing. He's an utter pig.
Okay, he's not. But I do think he's not.
Read his columns. And I do. And they're awful.
I don't agree with you on that.
Well, you know him and you like him.
Right. Okay, go on now. What else do you want to talk about?
I get to have my view, too. You can have your view and I can have my view. My view is Eric Sonderman is the bottom of the barrel. Your view is a nice guy. And I would say the majority of people agree with you and not with me, but that's not unusual.
What about Spencer Pratt? That's an interesting kind of race.
Oh, my God, do you love Spencer Pratt? Or at least, I don't know if I love Spencer Pratt as I love the guys who are doing the AI commercials. I mean, I just love them. They make Karen Barris and Newsom and all that look like the worst people count Harris.
It's a clever thing, because I have to admit, without all those ads, I probably wouldn't, if you would have said to me, who's running for mayor?
Yeah, well, okay.
I'm not even remotely paying attention to that, really, right? But because of it, I think everybody in America, maybe not everybody, but knows who Spencer Pratt is, and they like him. Because, again, humor goes along.
Hickenlooper found a long time ago.
Right, when he did the jumping out of the airplane commercial. So just for fun, we're going to play this. So
another one of these great, great ads.
If we could please play the Spencer Pratt ad.
Oh, God, please. My daughter, she's sick.
Spencer Pratt is the common sense choice for Los Angeles. Just look around. The city is a mess, and our leaders have failed us. Homelessness, crime, drugs, everything is worse under Karen Bass.
This is bad. She's caught the Pratt. How did this happen?
We restrict her media diet. New York Times, MSNBC, NPR, maybe CNN if we're feeling frisky. Something must have slipped through.
Does she know anyone at all, who thinks for themselves?
I don't know. I don't think so. What is this?
It starts with a mild cough. And then, next thing you know, you hate seeing homeless drug addicts inject near kids. It's very contagious. I'm going to prescribe 4 doses of NPR every hour on the hour, 2 doses of the New York Times, and 5 doses of the LA Times.
Why was Karen Bass in Ghana while the city was burning?
6 doses. 6 doses of the LA Times. We'll have to hold her in quarantine with the others for a few days. It's protocol.
I love that. It's so well done.
Well, there's truth to it too. Is, I mean, behind the humor, beyond the humor, kind of like what Donald Trump does. That's why some of his stuff catches on, because, you know, when he comes up with mean nicknames for people, there's always.
Yeah, but this is even better. More intelligent, more thought. It's just
I agree with that, but I just mean, it is funny because it's true, right? You know, all those organizations, even if you like them, you have to realize they are propaganda machines. So it is kind of funny. And on that, apparently, there's a new Barry Weiss promoted, got rid of the old CNN people, and she's putting in new CNN leadership. And I guess they
CBS,
had CBS. And thank you. And they had a meeting, and Scott Pelley, who's a 60 Minutes correspondent, got into a shouting match with the new boss, and who got up and just apparently said, hey, enjoy the bagels, and left. Now, I got a word of the wise of Scott Pelley. No one's watching you. It's like you can stand up and make this like, oh, you know, I'm going to tell the boss what to do. In my experience in the TV world, getting up and challenging the boss and telling them they're a jerk and telling them what to do does not end well for you.
It's no, the boss. You've been there and you know it. So that's what happened to, I forget her name, something Albert or something.
Oh, yeah.
That got up and said, I want my, you know, Salvador prison thing run right now. And I, if you don't do that, then I'm going to do it. And so they go, oh, okay, thanks. Well, she no longer has a contract.
And then Jacob is right here. They're thinking about, well, this is being reported, so who knows if it's true. They're thinking about getting rid of Anderson Cooper and hiring Joe Rogan.
Except they'd probably be Joe Rogan.
So tone deaf. And I don't know where they think they're going to go get jobs. It's not like, you know, it's not like the TV industry ever. Yeah, really. It's not like it's exploding.
The Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, NPR, no, they're not being funded.
Join Eric Solomon somewhere.
They're not being funded anywhere. So I just thought that was funny.
That was great.
Polls show he's ahead now slightly. And again,
no,
polls.
What? Can I just say one quick thing?
Sure.
You know who's the one guy that they hired that CBS 60 Minutes fired? The white hair.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, no, I forget his name, but they were thinking of replacing him with Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah, no, Anderson Cooper. Yes, that's what
Anderson
I was just
Cooper,
saying.
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper.
Okay, all right, bye.
Yeah, all right, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. I think it's probably too late to save CBS News.
Well,
or any news organization. But it is kind of fun to watch them all pompously stand up, and it's like,
oh, God, great stuff.
You know, I don't care what business you're in. Getting in a public fight and trying to humiliate your new boss and trying to tell your new boss that you're right and he's going to destroy things, that doesn't go over very well, you know?
All CBS is geriatric ward. I mean, you know, of kind of semi-dead
ancient correspondent.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, God, how old is the, what's her name?
Leslie Stahl. I don't know. Ancient.
So I mean, that's going to be kind of fun to watch. I mean, if the Republican Party had the intelligence of those ads for Spencer Pratt, that takes some intelligence to be that funny, quite frankly.
The White House does some pretty funny stuff. On X, right? They put some funny stuff out. No, not as good as this. No,
I mean, this stuff,
not as good as this.
I haven't seen the Republican Party ever run that funny, that intelligent, that insightful and searing type of ads. And so, I mean, it's just...
He's got a lot of material in L.A.
Plenty of material in Washington, D.C., I promise you.
Right.
There's no lack of material. For the Republicans to go after. But you know, from now on, it won't be just the Republicans. That's the new form of attack.
The Democrats have no sense of humor. So it's not going to
work. It used to be the Republicans had no sense of humor.
Right.
And now it's the Democrats.
The Democrats, they have no sense of humor. So I just, you know, you can see them, some of the ads they put out where they were attacking, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it was almost a joke. Oh, it's the one that we play where Spencer Pratt wants to make people pay for their own houses instead of just giving it to the homeless people. Spencer Pratt doesn't want people doing drugs on the streets. He wants to, and it's like, that was their response.
Four doses of LA Times. Oh, six doses of LA Times. And she was perfectly one on the stretcher.
Well, anything else then?
No, that's it. I mean, it was great to have Ted Harvey on, and we'll have our new chair on Wednesday or maybe later next week. And I think he's going to be, I think, a nice soothing chair, unlike the prior one. He's not going to be a bomb thrower like Dave Williams, but not everybody can be Dave Williams. But it's going to be, I think Republican Party. If it's true, if we have the opt-out, then the Republican Party is saved. It's not safe to win big elections here. It's not safe, but safe to be something other than a Democratic light one. It won't be just a Barb Kirkmeyer saying, yeah, I've got an F rating.
It won't be Britta Horn, who secretly wants to get rid of the party system altogether and just have jungle primaries. So, yeah. I mean, so that all came out of it. So we all know where she was coming from. Okay, well, that'll do it for us. Thank you to Ted, everybody on Zoom, and the guys at BBS. And we'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Take care.